This is our Book Trip podcast, which is a Meryl Moss Media production. And today, for those of you who don't know, we're chatting with Brenda Jackson, and she is a New York Times and USA Today bestselling author. And you have a new release. It's part of your Westmoreland series, which is very exciting, and it just hit a bookshelf near everyone. So happy Pub Week, Brenda.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah. I love the cover. Absolutely love it. Smoking hot. So once again, thanks so much for joining us. And before we begin the round of questions, can you catch us up on the Westmoreland series and Bane?
Oh, gosh. The Westmoreland series began with Delaney. Bane is my 31st book, so there's
wow.
a lot of Westmoreland. And when
oh,
I
wow.
introduced Bane, he was... it was 15 books ago, 15 Westmoreland books ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was a hothead in love with this young girl named Crystal. And when the readers met Bane, he and Crystal had been separated, a forced separation by her parents.
Mm-hmm.
So the readers have been waiting all these books for the time when Bane and Crystal would be reunited. It's been five
wow.
years.
Oh, wow, so that's a big lead up.
That's why Bane, and they haven't seen each other, so that's why Bane is such a special book, because it's like
yeah.
a reunion book between Bane and the love of his life, Crystal Newsome.
Wonderful. And, you know, they're such interesting characters. So Bane is a Navy SEAL, and Crystal is a chemist, correct? So...
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit why you chose kind of those professions for them?
Well, in the book, a couple of books back, my readers knew that Bane went into the Navy, and I knew
mm-hmm.
Bane being the type of aggressive, just young man that he was, that he needed some way to work off his energy. So I knew that being a SEAL would be perfect for him because...
Mm-hmm.
excellent marksman, and he was very physical as far as outdoorsy type, and he was a very good swimmer, so I knew that that would be
yeah.
a very good fit for him. Crystal, my readers knew that she was very, very smart, even though she cut school a lot when she and Bane were teenagers, but it was always understood that Crystal wasn't just dumb. She was really brilliant. And
mm-hmm.
without Bane, that gave her a chance to go back to school, get her PhD, and become a chemist. And I wanted her to work on some top secret type of project that would be high in demand by savory,
mm-hmm.
unsavory people. So that's why mm-hmm. I made her a chemist.
Excellent. Are there any actors and actresses in mind that you think would be great to play Bane and Crystal? Does anyone kind of pop into your head?
Whenever I think of Bane, I think of the guy on the cover. My readers selected him. He was...
Oh, great.
Oh, he's a professional model, Lewis
mm-hmm.
Allen III. And a couple of my readers saw him in an ad somewhere, and they said this guy would be the perfect Bane. So I put the challenge on them. I said, well, find out who he is,
yeah.
how I can get in confidence. And it did. We were able. They were like, we're going to find this guy. And they were relentless in their pursuit. And they found him. And his agent made it happen. And he was on. Not only was he agreed to be on the cover of the book to portray Bane, but he's appeared at several functions with me and my readers as Bane Westmoreland. So in my readers' mind, there is not another Bane. So I'm hoping, and I never asked Lewis whether he can act or not, because they would not accept anybody else to play Bane. And if it went movie, he would have to be Bane, okay?
Yeah.
So as far as Crystal, we did not reveal my thoughts on how I thought Crystal looked until recently, because I wanted the readers to come up with their own version of Crystal. But they were so into Bane, they like, well, we know whoever he falls in love with has to be beautiful. So that was enough for them. She had to be beautiful. So
yeah.
We basically kind of like visualized how we thought Crystal would look. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Bane, we know how Bane looks. And it got
yeah.
so that whenever I see Lewis, I call him Bane. I forget he's Lewis. I think of him as Bane. And
exactly.
I said, well, I'm sorry. He said, that's okay, Mrs. Jackson. Okay. But yes, his name is Lewis E. Allen III, but to us, he's Bane.
That's amazing. Is that the first time that your readers kind of chose the cover model or found someone for you, or has that happened before?
It never happened before. They would tell me that while reading the book, they thought of some celebrity or another, and I would smile and say, oh, okay. But I have to say, when they came up with this guy and say he is Bane, and I looked at him, I'm like, yeah. He is Bane because he looked naughty and nice and looked like
mm-hmm.
had that rugged look about him. So I think we got the perfect guy to be Bane. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now going back to when you first started, when did you first start your professional writing career? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Professionally, I started writing in 1995. My first book came out in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote just for the fun of it when I was in high school. I used to entertain
mm-hmm.
my classmates, but that was never my dream job or my dream career. I went to college and got a business administration degree because I wanted to be in corporate America, which I did. I worked
mm-hmm.
37 years for a major insurance company in management, and I loved it. I loved corporate America, but I would go to my class reunions, and all my classmates, teachers, they figured that I should have written a book. They would ask, well, what about the book? I'm like, no, that was just something I did during my adolescent years, and I'm Miss Corporate America now. And so they would ask
wow.
me that. Like, so my husband said, will you write that book for them, please? But you're right. Time we go
yeah.
to this class reunion, have a so you could say yes, I did write a book. And
mm-hmm.
when I started writing, I said that's not a bad idea. When I started writing the book, I enjoyed it because it was like my little escape from corporate America. And I traveled a lot with my job. So while
mm-hmm.
I was stuck in the hotel rooms and I wasn't a television person. I just started writing, and
yeah.
I loved it. So then the next thing you know, I had finished a book, and it was just, I never had any intention of getting it published. It was going to be just like I did when I was in high school. I was going to make copies and pass it out to my
mm-hmm.
classmates free of charge. And so I did it to one, and she said, oh, no, you're going to get this published. I'm like, you like it that much? She say, yes. And this guy, he has to have brothers. I know you thought that far in advance. And I'm like, no, I really didn't. So when I went back and reread the book, it's like a light bulb went off. I'm like, yes. And so that's what I did. So when I finally
wow.
ready to present to a publisher, they liked it and they bought it. So, I mean, it was rejected several times before it landed with a publisher who said, we want all three. Because by that time, I had written all three.
Wow.
So, yes.
Did you always write romance, or did you ever write any other genres?
Nope, just romance. I met my
always romance.
I
awesome.
Met husband. I knew my husband since kindergarten, but we
uh-huh.
kind of like started liking each other when I was 14 and he was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me a going steady ring when I was 15, which I proudly wear today. I still wear my first ring from him. And he told me,
that's nice.
Yeah, he told me then when he gave it to me that you are my girl, you will always be my girl. And I was his girl until the day he passed away a year and a half ago. And because I believe in romance and I believe first love can truly be last love, and I believe in all the things that true love and romance embodies, that's why I write love stories. And once in a while I may throw a little mystery in there, you know, to kind of...
Right, yeah.
But all Brenda Jackson books, if you ask any reader what I'm known for, and they will tell you, for romance, because I'm a romance novelist, and I love being a romance novelist, and I think I bring something unique to the table in that I lived a very romantic life.
Awesome. That's beautiful. So are you a plotter or a pantser when you're writing?
I'm not a plotter. so I have an idea what the story is going to be about because I write sagas and I know every character that I'm writing about. My books are character-driven versus plot-driven. So because I introduced the family, when I wrote Bane book, I knew everything there was to know about Bane. It was just trying to decide what situation to place Bane in. And I knew the general idea of what I was going to do as far as reuniting him with Crystal. But if you would have asked me start to finish, I wouldn't have known that. When I sit to the computer, I close my eyes, and it's like the story is being laid out for me. And that's when I just write it without thought. I don't do outlines. I don't do dossiers or any of these things. People, when they tell me, I'm like, by the time I do all that, I could have written a book. So I don't do any of that stuff. I just write.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing that, you know, you can just sit down and just go with it. That's great. Now, Bane is such an amazing name. Do you have any techniques for choosing your character names? Like, how did you come up with his name? And, you know, do you have, like, a list of names that you use? Do you kind of research?
No. You know, if I come across a name, whether it's a baby name, someone I know, or whatever, I came across Bane. I was looking in a book, and the name Brisbane, it's, you know, in Australia. I'm like, Brisbane, and you could call him Bane. That just sounded so masculine to me. So that came up with Bane. I've had Thorn. You know, I've come up with Dylan. I've come up with Stern, Canyon, Zane. I've come up with a lot of names that are Westmoreland names, and like when I hear a name, I can visualize that character in my head. I'm like, oh yeah, that's his name. That's his name. And it fits him. Bane name fits him. Once in a while, I call him Brisbane. Once in a while, I call him Bane, but Bane is his nickname.
What I want to know is, are there any secondary characters from your past books that you would love to bring back for a new series?
Yes, there are some characters in Bane books. Usually whenever I write a saga, it ends up being like one family I write about, the Medeiros's. It becomes the Medeiros's and friends because everybody has friends. And so... I introduce their friends, their best friends, or their friend cousins, friends of cousins, and I end up writing about them. I hadn't done that with the Westmorelands because they were such a close knit, and it wasn't that they didn't have friends. It was just so many of them to write about. I just never took the time to write about anybody else. So with Bane, that's different because he's a steal. And I've never devoted my time in writing about Navy SEALs. And in doing research for Bane, I'm like, wow, I wouldn't mind writing about some more SEALs. And one thing you find out when you write research SEALs, they are a team, and they're very a close-knit team. It's like a brotherhood. And so when I wrote Bane's story, I met some of his team members that I really fell in love with, and I knew my readers would fall in love with them as well. So Bane, I plan on writing about several of Bane's team members who are SEALs, and so I'm looking forward to doing that.
Fantastic. Lots of SEALs to look forward to. So how about setting in your books? Do you base the setting on real places? Are they completely from your imagination?
It depends. I like to travel. And
great.
So whenever I go anywhere, a place that I'm like, wow, this would be a perfect setting for a book, I incorporate that in my storyline. Like, I went on a cruise with my readers in 2013 to Alaska.
Oh, I fell
in love with Alaska. It was such a wonderful cruise. I told my readers then, I'm going to write about Alaska. So what I've done is introduce cousins to the Westmorelands who live in Alaska.
Oh, fantastic.
I will have a series, hopefully, based in Alaska. And then if I'm writing about a town that I don't want people to think, because I'm going to put things happening in that town that I don't want people to be looking at their neighbors, I will make up a city or make up a town or a university, because I don't want to give anyone a bad impression, a bad name on any town. So I've done that. But if it's a town that I really like, that I really enjoy, or a city, then I don't have a problem making that a setting. And I've taken my readers from Charlotte to Miami. I've taken them to Atlanta, to Montana. And some of those are places I've been, and some of them are places I've yet to go, but I would like to go.
And so speaking of the cruise, I spotted on your website that there's a 2017 Brenda Jackson Readers Reunion, which looks amazing. So can you tell us all about that?
Yes, every 2 years. I started a foundation 11 years ago.
Wonderful.
Dedicated it to my grandmother, Josephine Streeter Brett. She believed in giving, and she believed in higher education. So I started a scholarship foundation to give needy young people who can't possibly afford college, who's doing well, or who's at college and running hard times and need extra money for books. So the funds will be there. And so my readers came up to me and said, we would like to help. What can we do to help? And it happened to be the 10th anniversary of my writing career. So it started there, and it became a cruise with, to spend time with my reader and all readers, and also to benefit the foundation. So we've been doing that now for, I guess, 11 years.
Oh, wow.
We're doing it again. And I let my readers, usually they decide where we're going next. And usually it's a cruise. In 2017, we're going to do something different. It's going to be all-inclusive. We go to a resort. But we make it a fun time. I spend a lot of time with my readers. It's important for my readers to know that I'm just a regular person, that I'm not no high celebrity that they can't talk to or spend time with. One thing, when I was, before I became a writer, I was a reader. And I would appreciate whenever I ran to my favorite authors at conventions and said hi to them. They spoke back. They held conversations with you. But then you had some that put themselves so high up there, they only contacted you if when it was time for you to buy their book. And I said, if I ever became an author, I did not want to be that type of author. I wanted to be an author who appreciated her readers. Because if it wasn't for my readers reading my book, I would just be another book on the shelf. So this way, my readers got to get to spend time with me. Usually it's for a week, from all 5 days to a week, and we get to spend time together. We have fun. They ask me about future books, about books I've written, what I was thinking when I was writing them, and they get to know me. And some of these same readers go with me every cruise or every reunion. Yeah.
Fantastic. And speaking of just, you know, other authors that, that you enjoy, who are you currently reading? Is there anyone that's really inspiring you at the moment?
Oh, gosh. Because I'm under deadline.
You're like, no time.
But when I, but who inspired me? I love reading my, I call my sister author, Beverly Jenkins. She's a very good friend of mine, very supportive author friend of mine, and she writes a lot of historical novels that I love reading. But when I look for who inspired me, I think I would say Nora Roberts and Linda Howard. Those two. Because I was so into their books and Jude Devereaux, because I was so into their books, and they were writing series, what I love reading. And I noticed that each one of them had a very popular series. It started, the family name started with an M. Nora had the McGregors. Linda Howard had the Montgomerys. Linda Howard had, Jude Devereaux had the Montgomerys. Linda Howard had the McKenzies. So I said to myself, it has to be something special about this letter M. Because all three of them. So when I started my series, I said, my family name got to start with an M. I told my husband, I said, it got to be something magical about this letter M. So I came up with the Madarises. And I have to say, they have been special from day one. So their books, those three authors, sagas, and family series have inspired me.
Have you met any of those authors in person?
Yes. I have met Linda Howard. I haven't met Jude Devereaux, but I met Linda Howard because she's part of Romance Authors of America, and Nora Roberts. I was very proud to be the recipient of the Nora Roberts Lifetime Achievement Award presented by Romance Writers of America in 2012. And to receive that award was like a dream come true because, again, to me, Nora is the queen of romance. And for someone to think that my romance book, that I could receive an award in her name was just an honor for me.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have any advice for new writers, you know, who have been trying to break into the publishing world, kind of in the romance area?
Know your genre. A lot of authors that I, new authors, want to write what's selling.
Yeah.
I never wanted to write what's selling. I wanted to write what was in my heart. And even when people would tell me romance is not all that popular, you need to write about conflicts and drama books and urban fiction. That wasn't what I knew. That wasn't what I enjoyed reading, and it definitely wasn't what I enjoyed writing. So I stuck to what I knew, and even though those books at some point were selling really fast, people wanted the drama. But I didn't have that in my life. I had the romance, and that's what I was good at writing. And I knew that there were enough readers out there who wanted you can cut on the television and hear the drama, read about
exactly.
the drama. You wanted an escape book to take you away. And that's what I wanted to read and what I wanted to write about. So I would tell them to write what's in your heart. If you're not a true romantic, if you really don't believe in romance, then the readers will know it. You're just putting words together. You have to feel the passion that you are writing about. And I would also tell them to know your audience. Get to know them. I've had readers tell me, well, I don't want to get to know them. I just want them to buy my book. To me, that's very selfish.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying you have to invite them to dinner.
Right.
But let them know that they are special to you. That you appreciate them, that they're giving up their $6 or $7 to buy your book, and you have spent time to give them the best book possible, and that they're special to you. So if nothing else, I would tell them those two things, to know your audience, appreciate your audience, and write from your heart.
Great advice. That's fantastic. And you were mentioning that you're on a deadline, which I'm sure is common. What are you currently working on right now?
Right now, I'm working on my next desire.
Woo!
Which is coming out next October. I'm going to have three books out in 2016.
Excellent.
And it'll be
exciting.
The book coming out next October.
Mm-hmm.
And I call him my mystery hero because I haven't announced who he is yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I told the readers they have to read Bane's book first, so I'm sure they know by now. He's one of Bane's friends that I'm writing about, but which one they don't know yet.
Ooh.
I haven't announced which one. And the book is finished because I wanted to finish it before the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And once I get it finished, then I'll be able to relax because in January I start work on my three-book series, the Protector series,
mm-hmm.
which is a spinoff from The Grangers, which was a big series for me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the third book of The Grangers was selected as one of the best books of 2015 by Essence Magazine. So
wonderful.
Felt really good about that.
Yeah.
So I have, and they're bigger books with longer plots, so I
mm-hmm.
have to really think about how I want to entwine the mystery in those books and still keep the romance balanced.
Mm-hmm. So how do you kind of find that balance? I always wonder that with like romance and the suspense is like, yeah, what's the process kind of like?
Well, I believe the characters, there has to be, once you establish that physical connection, that
mm-hmm.
chemistry between the characters, then you know that no matter what goes on, who's shooting at who, whom, or what's going to
exactly.
happen, the characters, in the end, they will be all right.
Yeah.
And I think Nora said it best when she said she told someone, every story is a love story because there's
yeah.
a relationship in
exactly.
every story you read. So for you to say, oh, I don't read romance books, I don't read love stories, you're lying to yourself.
Exactly.
But with me, I try to balance both. I want to give you the action, because some people like action, and some of my books require action. But
mm-hmm.
then I want you to get to know my hero and heroine and root for not only that they survive, but their love survives as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our questions. It was wonderful to chat. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, and happy Pub Week again. It's so exciting that Bane is, you know, out and looking good on your cover, and I know that your readers are so excited. So, again, congrats on the new release.
Thank you.
And everybody pick up the new Westmoreland series. Have a great one, Brenda. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Amanda. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.